Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. Thank you for joining us. Tonight we're going to be speaking about physical mediumship, and we've got a lot to say. As a matter of fact, Tom and Melissa went to a seance with physical medium Kai Mugi. Fran and I also sat in a different seance in two different parts of the country, and we really just, in the last minute or two, got to compare a couple of notes, and that's about it. We haven't been able to discuss it, but we will be doing that soon. Tonight's sponsor of the show is L&R Productions. You can find them on the web at lnrproductions.com. And as I mentioned, you're here with your hosts for the evening, Tom and Melissa, and Bob, and I'm Fran.
You're Fran.
I'm Bob.
Last week's check.
And before we get going with our stimulating conversation, which you're either going to believe or you're not going to believe, Fran is going to get us caught up, or Bob is, whichever one, on the coming events. So take it away.
Okay. The most important thing is that our listeners know that there are three ways to like Signs of Life Radio. One, go to Signs of Life Radio page on Facebook and like us. That's pretty simple. So everybody who's listening and everybody who hears this archive, go over immediately to Facebook and like us. Two, use the donate button on any of our weekly email show reminders to support programming. There's also a little space you can add to comments about the show if you'd like. If you haven't gotten the email, just go to the first page of Forever Family Foundation and there'll be a little link where you can click on donate and donate to keep the show programming alive. And three, you can remember us when you shop. You can support the work of our 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization without spending any additional money at all. First, you'll need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or are in need of another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Second, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we will receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for, and there are more than 1,300 online stores, like the Apple Store, drugstore.com, or Sirius Radio, a portion of what you spend is, again, donated back to Forever Family Foundation, so please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Also, our 7th annual Afterlife Conference will be held this year in beautiful and warm San Diego, California, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Golf Resort, November 9th and 10th, and is sponsored by Star Seed Gems. Make your plans now for the Friday night banquet featuring Kim Russo, star of the hit TV series The Haunting of, as our keynote presenter, bringing through communication from the other side. Then the conference begins early Saturday morning through Sunday evening, including featured presentations by Tom and Lisa Butler, Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant, Dr. Stephen Browdy, Dr. Evan Alexander, and Lloyd Auerbach, with spirit communication demonstrations from certified mediums Laura Lynn Jackson and Angelina Diana. This year we have several add-ons to the weekend, such as attending the live radio broadcast of Signs of Life, which is free, and Medium Monday Breakfast Workshop, for just an additional $30 for attendees. If you are interested in volunteering, starting with the pre-conference work, please send an email to volunteers@foreverfamilyfoundation.org and put San Diego Conference in the subject line. Also include a short paragraph of why you wish to help and if there are any specific areas in event management that you have experience with. Our Holidays Pass raffle is in full swing, and you might want to get in while the number of assignments are low. The mediums in this raffle are Dave Campbell, Eliza Ray, Nancy Marlowe, Tracy Lee Nash, and Catherine Nadal. It's $5 a chance. And lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. And that's it for tonight.
Well, thank you. And now to dive into tonight's topic of physical mediumship, let's first begin with a brief synopsis of what physical mediumship is. It's different than the mediumship that most people are used to, so-called mental mediumship, where a person communicates with spirit and brings you evidence that they get from that person, so you'll know that that person still exists. Physical mediumship is involves a lot of physical phenomena. For instance, the medium goes into trance. Deep trance is somebody in spirit takes over the medium's body, sometimes speaks through the medium, usually in that person in spirit's voice, and things start happening, such as levitations, wrappings, various instruments, points of light that float around the room, you know, and so forth. So it's more of a demonstration, you might say, of psychokinesis, of mind over matter, with things float around. Now, the particular medium that we went to see didn't do any spirit communication per se, but I know that in the history, reading about the history of physical mediumship and some of the physical mediums today, the medium goes into trance, and then the person in spirit does give evidential information so that people, the sitters, would recognize, you know, loved ones. And I'll also say that this was the first time for Fran and I visiting a physical medium, and I know it was the first time for Tom and Melissa, so we're by no means experts in these things. And I remember having a conversation last year, you know, with Victor and Wendy Zammit, who are experts in physical mediumship, and I remember Wendy saying, I believe she said that she went to 200 sittings in physical mediumship before she believed it. You know, it was certainly more than 100. Enough was 200.
Wow.
So, you know, this is our first experience, and I know that we have a lot of questions. So a good place, let's compare notes, you know.
Right.
So we started off, the gathering began with the medium for about 1 hour, or maybe even a little bit more, giving an introduction. Did the same thing happen in yours?
It went on and on.
Okay. What was he saying in your session?
Well, in our session, it was mostly the warnings, like, whatever you do, don't have any white light, don't stretch your feet out, you know, you don't want to trip anybody, you don't, you know, and if you do, horrible things could happen. I'm not going to tell you anything horrible is going to happen or what could happen. I'll just mention that, you know, There could be a whole pool of blood in front of, you know. And I'm thinking, I mean, this is how, so that went on and on.
Objective.
Which, of course, we were said ahead of time, the rules, and this was all in it. So it was just basically rehashing the rules. I personally felt that it went on very long, especially we were sitting on benches that were meant for kids' parties, and that got uncomfortable. I mean, the whole session started at 7:30, and we didn't get out of there till after 1 o'clock at night. And I just felt that, and of course, he kept looking at me because I was a bigger person in the room. And he goes, you know, you could faint, you know, I've seen big guys faint, you know, and I'm saying, yeah, okay. And then the whole thing about how you have to sing, and if you have to sing out, you know, you don't be afraid to sing. You know, everybody has to join in and sing out. And so in my mind, as I'm listening to it, I'm going, okay, you can't stretch your feet out because we don't want to trip the person who's in the room in the dark. Okay, and as a skeptic, you don't, and you have to sing out so you won't hear the person scurrying around the room. You know, these are the things that I'm looking for. We were offered ahead of time the opportunity to examine the room and the surroundings and all that. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about how the medium was to be strip searched and all. Well, we never got the opportunity to examine anything. We were the ones being examined. We were frisked. We had a metal detector so that we wouldn't be bringing flashlights or something into the room, I'm sure. But it didn't go both ways. We did not get the opportunity to inspect anything. And then, of course, the strip search was done, you know, in another room by one of the hosts.
Our experience was initially was the same, right? It was a long period of instruction.
Very long. I think it was more than an hour.
Yeah, an hour may have been a little more than an hour. And I must say, we're going to get into, you know, what happened. It's the kind of thing, and even I know in our session, the medium said this. I don't know if he said the same thing at yours, but he said after the session, when you're given an opportunity for quick Q&A, he said it's either you believe it or you don't. You know, it's that kind of a thing. And I find myself, I mean, I know what happened, you know, during the session. As these things were happening, I kept saying to myself, oh, if only I was wearing night goggles, you know, if only I was, you know. And so you can't really judge without, now scientists can judge, and the same medium has been researched by Stephen Browdy and other scientists under strict controls, and they report some of the same things happening. So I have to remain open, you know, because of that. I respect the science part of it. But so far, you know, that's the same in the setup and experience. And I agree with Tom, because the same things are running through my mind when I'm looking at it objectively. If I was setting up a fraud, you know, the conditions would be, and that's one of the problems in the research, the conditions are ripe for fraud. You have total darkness that you can't see. As Tom mentioned, you know, you cautioned, you know, keep your feet tucked in, so, you know, if there was fraud going on, you wouldn't notice.
Here's body.
You're singing, and you're singing loudly to get the vibration up, so that would, you know, you can't hear what's going on. And you're always holding hands with the people on each side of you, so you're forming a chain so you can't move. So, you know, if you were going to, you know, set up, you know, conditions for fraud, I mean, that's a perfect thing. I'm not saying that's what happened, but even the medium certainly can understand, you know, some skepticism on that. So did you want to go to a break and when we come back?
Yeah, we should.
We'll pick up on that conversation, and then we're going to talk about what types of things actually happened and who the medium was channeling. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We are talking about physical mediumship and specifically our experiences sitting in a seance with the physical medium. So we described the setting pretty much, except it was, I assume yours was the same, it was total darkness.
Yes.
Except for some occasional periods towards the end of the session in red light.
Started with a teens bit of red light to okay. see us entering the room. And a bit of her, the medium's wife's flashlight, just to make sure everyone was finding their seats.
Right.
They were led to their seats and seated. And then the lights went out when the medium entered the room.
Okay, so you're sitting in pitch blackness. You know, a lot of people say, well, even in pitch blackness, eventually your eyes will adjust.
No.
That's not true. In pitch blackness, that doesn't... I couldn't see a damn thing.
I felt it was extremely similar to my experience sitting in the psychomantium.
Yeah. Well, in the psychomantium, though, you have a little bit of dim light.
Well, that must have been what it accounted for, because yeah. I saw these swirls of purple, and I was whispering to Tom, but I think it was my eyes adjusting to the darkness after having that little bit of light.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, because I also, in the psychomantium, I would see points of light, but you have no way of knowing whether that's your own. And our session, also towards the end, there was a little bit of white light, you know, that was introduced, which is interesting. Now, the reason for the darkness, as described by the mediums, the physical mediums, is that they exude this material called ectoplasm, which we'll talk about in a minute, and the ectoplasm does not react well with light. And since the ectoplasm comes out of the medium's body, and there's some sort of biological or etheric connection to the medium, that the introduction of light would be harmful to the medium. So that's the explanation of it. Melissa, what were you going
to say? Were you told during your sitting what was happening to that ectoplasm? We were told by the medium's guide that the ectoplasm we were seeing was not going to re-enter the medium's body, and instead it was going to be absorbed into the atmosphere.
Right, and that's something that I learned. That wasn't said during the session, but in the questions and answers afterwards, I asked that question of Kai, you know, because I was always under the impression from what I read it that it comes out and it goes back in. And I thought that that's where the medium would be harmed when it went back in. And they described the same thing as you just said, Melissa, that it just really, you know, sort of evaporates, for lack of a better term, into the atmosphere. So it doesn't go back in, but it comes out.
Well, and that's why I question, why then cannot we take a sample or shine a light on it? It's not going back into the medium, as we've been told in our readings.
Yeah, but they're saying that it's still connected to the medium through this, you know, web-like kind of strings, you know?
Yeah, no, so, I mean, that's my problem with this, is, I mean, we're all about the science, and we want to see proof, and I want to see evidence, and, you know, we have mediums that do a fantastic reading, there's a lot of evidence by what they say that they couldn't possibly know any other way. And that's what I was looking for. I was looking for, okay, I wanted an experience that is so otherworldly that the feeling I got was, you know, when Laura Lynn Jackson or Teresa or any of these great mediums come through, you get the hair on the back of your neck tingles, your whole body, there's just a flush of a wow, you know, the Oprah calls the aha moment, where you go, wow, I've experienced something that is not of this world.
Or even an internal knowing.
Yeah.
That the chord has been struck.
And whereas this, it was entertaining and you know, talking with Bob here, what I didn't know, that this particular medium has been tested by supposedly in scientific situations, and some of the things that we saw may have actually been spirit. But when I can sit there in the room and I can imagine easily how you could fake it, I don't know. I think, you know, spirit should step up a little bit. You know, I mean, give me something that you can't possibly fake.
Well, and also our understanding, I mean, amongst us here in the room, we've researched quite a bit, and how this show this evening was so orchestrated, step by step by step. I have a printout of a blog that was written about the event that occurred in August. I could go over each point, and each point is exactly how it played out in our sitting. And I was in touch with one of the other attendees, someone I did not previously know, just asking for their take on it all. And she said the exact same thing. It was way too orchestrated, and it's her understanding and our understanding that spirit is not that predictable. It's just not. It's sitting after sitting that each one of these phenomena occurred and then was removed, didn't occur again. Music shook, done with the music. Lights appeared, done with the lights.
Yeah, that each section. I mean, why didn't the lights come, you know, why didn't the spirit make the lights go again after, you know, when the ectoplasm is going and some lights? You know, I mean, everything was in order, and it was building up like a show. Okay, so we'll start with the little lights going around. Oh, no, we'll start with the musical instruments. Then we'll see some lights going around. Then we'll do this trick with the balls that fly off. Oh, and then, of course, you got the horn that's going to fly around the room.
I think we were even given an agenda of the order in which it was going to take.
Yeah, but,
they would know it.
Of course, the medium would explain that the medium doesn't have any control, so this orchestration is done by the person that he's channeling, in this case, a deceased scientist named Hans Bender.
Scientist or showman?
Well, Hans was a scientist. Right?
Well, I'm thinking he was more of an entertainer.
Yeah, so, well, he in his mind, maybe, you know, I'm sure the medium explanation would be in Hans's mind, this is what Hans feels is the most effective way of demonstrating it. But I do also question the fact that the same thing happens in so many, you know, different, you know, sessions, you know, with the, you know, the ping pong balls always levitate. So you can make the argument, well, how many things can you do to affect, you know, to show that there's spirit involvement, you know, you can levitate things, we could wrap things, you know, I don't know what else you could really do. But we have somebody on another person of independent thought that was sitting in a session. I think he was sitting in the same session as you were, August Goforth. So, August, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you?
All right, Hack. Good evening. How you doing?
So, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So we've been talking about our experiences, and you know, as first timers. I would imagine, as you could understand, there are a lot of questions. You know, there's some skepticism because this is so, you know, beyond our normal expectations. So, you've been to a number of these physical medium sessions, haven't you, August?
Yes, I've been to three of this particular. I was at two in Lilydale, and then came back to New Jersey and attended the last one where I met Tom and Melissa.
Right.
I've been at other settings, and I'm also a developing physical medium myself.
Right. So have you sat with other physical mediums other than Kai?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So in Kai's sessions, I know that there was not spirit communication per se. It was mostly, you know, phenomena. Do the other physical mediums work differently, or is this something that the emphasis is on the physical phenomena?
Well, you might remember that part of the very long introduction that we sat through for each thing was to stress the differences between what he was calling the American/English mode of spiritualism and the very specific scientific-oriented German mode of spiritism. And the Germans are all very pragmatic, very dry. The physical mediumship came out of models from Rudy and Willy Schneider, and that if you remember, it's called the Felix Experimental Group, and they're all about science and all about experiments, and which is very different than the English-American sittings, where we just sort of all sit and just hope that whatever happens may come through and certain kinds of physical manifestations will come through. With the Felix Experimental Group, they have what one of you call like an orchestrated agenda, that we have these experiments that we want to do over and over again to see if we can do them better, if you can help us do them better. So you will always have the same thing occurring for the most part, that they're developing, and it goes in a very specific sequence to build certain energies. Like you can't start with the ectoplasm and end up with the levitating trumpet. You have to start very slowly and build up. So I noticed this, that each session was very slowly building up to what they wanted to produce. And some of the experiments were more successful than others, I noticed, at the three different sittings that I was in. So I'm going to actually be writing a very, very comprehensive report about this. It's laying all this out to help put it to understand, because as you know, you were there and there was so much going on and it's pitch dark and there's so much, you just can't focus on everything all at once. It's also hard to remember everything that happened for some people, too, because it's so new.
Yeah. One thing, August, I'd like to get your thoughts on it. I've been, you know, it would be very, very helpful. I know that Kai mentioned that in each session, or as he progresses, he's been experimenting with more time with the red light and I know in our session it was even a period with white light. We mentioned before, I mean, and what about the possibility of wearing night goggles? You know, I'm not an expert on the subject, but from what I could research just online, I think that the amount of light that's emitted by infrared is equal or less than the amount of light thrown off by red light. So, you know, if for research purposes, I'm wondering if that would be an option down the road for to have, you know, a sitter wearing these, you know, infrared goggles to assure that, you know, this is up on the up and up? I mean, you have
right. any thoughts? From what I know, and just from my own interactions with Hans Bender, is that they're very open to experimenting and trying new things. But the most main criterion is the safety of the medium, that there's a lot of danger here when you're using physical mediumship with ectoplasm because it's coming from the medium's body. And the reason that they were saying don't put your feet out, because they were building a force field, a matrix, they called it, that was extending from the cabinet and going further and further out from where the medium was sitting. And if you stick your feet into that force field, you could interrupt it. And sometimes, if there is ectoplasm coming out, if a white light or too bright red light was shown on it, it will snap back in. It seems to be very, very sensitive to any kind of light, and it will snap back into the medium. It can actually burn them. It can cause a seizure. I've ended up with blisters, burn blisters on the inside of my nose from something that's happened. So there's always the reason that was all set up at the beginning was we have these restrictions, and we have these crazy restrictions we put on you for the safety of the medium. We don't want anyone to get hurt. And they had an incident in Germany where someone actually got up in the middle of, it wasn't at Kai's, but at another physical medium, someone got up in the middle of the dark and they tried to, they rushed the medium, and the medium got very, very ill, and it was not a good scene. So they have to have these restrictions of frisking people to make sure that you're not bringing in something in that you're going to, like, toss at the ectoplasm, or you're not going to pull out a flashlight and shine it on them. They want to make sure that everyone stays safe. So, yes, but I think they are very willing to experiment. Infrared seems to interfere somehow with the energy in the room, and it hasn't been very successful. It's been tried over and over again. About night goggles, I don't know, but it sounds like it's something worth trying as long as it's safe.
Yeah.
Can I, August, it's Melissa. With your experience or attempts at physical mediumship yourself, are you channeling a guide, or do you stay within, you know, yourself? Are you speaking for yourself throughout your sessions?
With me, it's been spontaneous physical manifestations that happen around in my. I don't feel comfortable in letting a guide take over my body.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't had the kind of spectacular results that you would see with that Kai would see. And it also takes an awful lot out of a person. Historically, physical mediums don't have the best of health, and they develop a lot of health problems and don't live for very long because this just sort of wears them out. And that's not what I want to happen with me.
Good.
Yeah. Well, I know that you have intuitive abilities, and you certainly can practice mental mediumship when you want, and you also have the ability to channel deceased entities. But when it comes to physical mediumship, how does one train for that? You mentioned your nose, you know, burning in an attempt. I mean, was there ectoplasm that was exuding from you as well in these attempts?
Well, that was at one sitting that I was at a couple years ago, where there was ectoplasm and something else called photoplasm, which is a different energy. That's a whole other ball of wax. That apparently the ectoplasm in me was responding to the energy of the room and started coming out of my nose. And I can feel it, and I know what's going to happen. But I must have reached up and, like, scratched my nose, or was picking my nose or something, and it caused the ectoplasm to go back in. And I think that's what caused burns on the inside of my nose from that. It's a very volatile substance. It's delicate. It's very reactive, too. There's been a lot of studies, and there have been samples taken of it, but it's very hard to get a sample, and usually the sample just disintegrates really, really fast. So they can see it's mostly water, and there's some skin cells in it from the medium, but I think all of the main chemicals that the scientist on the other side put into it are just taken back into the atmosphere or wherever they pull it from.
I noticed that when Kai was going into trance, he used holotropic
breathing. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that something that other physical mediums do as well? Is that just unique to Kai, or is that something that you have attempted?
It's something that was learned from the shamans of the indigenous societies about how they induce trance. And that was studied and explored and then formalized by Stanislaus Grof and Christina Grof, who are these famous psychologists and psychiatrists. And they figured out how to reproduce the shamanic breathing, or holotropic breathing it's called. And so a lot of people have studied this. There's the rebirthing people that use it for rebirthing. So I have done it myself, but I haven't done it specifically for going into trance. I'm not really comfortable with going into deep trance. When Kai goes into that deep trance, he's completely gone. And when he comes back, he has no idea what happened. He has absolutely no, so he doesn't even get to see any of the stuff that happens. He just hears about it, unless he goes to another physical mediumship sitting. So he's completely removed from the whole thing. I don't want to be removed from it. I want to experience as much as I can.
Mm.
How was your experience with the lights, the spirit lights that flew around the room?
Well, in our particular session, I mean, we got a full array. I mean, there were lights, points of light that were, you know, darting around the room. I had, and we were discussing before, I was a little surprised. I was expecting these light little brushes, and we were getting these hard raps and taps. I had the trumpet, which, as you know, is a cardboard funnel-like type thing. It had some illuminating tape on it, and I had that fly and hit me pretty forcefully in the face. So that was a little startling. And I had I had taps on my head, on both arms, on my hands. I think Fran experienced the same thing on her hands and her legs, right?
Yeah, what I thought was interesting about that is that because we were all holding hands, yeah, is that even though I felt it on a part of my hand that was not touching the person sitting next to me's hand, both me and the person next to me reacted at exactly the same time, mm-hmm, being touched. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, at the one sitting up at Lilydale, my chair was right up against a wall because we were in a very short room, and yet almost throughout the entire seance, there was someone standing behind me somehow, stroking the back of my neck and just touching my hair and my ears. It was really phenomenal. So you have to speak, you have to share about your experience about the ectoplasm, which I guess you saw in the red light, right?
Yeah, we did. We saw it in the red light, and briefly, you know, in the white light, it's kind of hard to explain, you know what I mean?
And they did put the white light onto the ectoplasm for an extended period of time. In fact, Hans had named several people in the room to stand up and move towards the cabinet to see the image that was now inside the ectoplasm so that somebody could claim it as belonging to them. So that was very interesting.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, that there was supposedly, you know, a recognizable image, you know, that was formed out of the ectoplasm. I wasn't close enough to
I got a very good view of it, and it looked as if some, you know, those rounded type photographs that you see from like the 1920s and earlier. That's what it looked like. Somebody had taken one of those and literally stuck it into the ectoplasm.
Right. Well, we saw that too. There were like these medallions, and at one point there were probably several dozen of them in our ectoplasmic display, and it was all moving and very happening very fast. And the red light isn't allowed to shine on for very fast, but we had one spectacular one of those medallions, like those little old-fashioned pictures, suddenly grow, and it grew to the size of a human face, and then the human face started coming out of the ectoplasm, and the eyes opened and were blinking, and the mouth was moving, and then my friend recognized, and I did too, his grandmother, who had just died a couple of years ago at the age of 102, and here she was looking maybe 40 or 50, and we both recognized her immediately, and it was interesting because it was also on the day of his father's anniversary of his father's death.
Well, certain sessions, I understand, you know, more physical phenomena. Tom and Melissa didn't witness as much physical phenomena going on. Were you touched at different places, or?
I wasn't at all.
You weren't at all. You weren't either.
I was like touched, and I was kind of beaten up. I had the crap kicked out of me by the trumpet and the bright lights as well, too. They were just swarming all over me. But it really, the more that you go in, when you join into the spirit of thing, because that's why you sing, singing raises energy. And it's not trying to cover up noises in the room, because there were times when the control of Julia, his wife, said silence because Hans was speaking to us or something like that. And sometimes I could hear footsteps walking around on the ceiling. People could hear creakings in the wall. But I think we had a fantastic photographer, a very, very skilled photographer who specializes in spirit photography with us, who took the images that you can see at Kai's blog, and I'll be reproducing them as well, too. But we got some fantastic photography, probably the best in 100 years, of the ectoplasm and red light with the faces in them. So I would encourage anyone to go look for them.
Yeah, well, we have to go to a break. August, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Where can people find the blog that you're writing?
Well, I would encourage them to look at, it's called the Felix Experimental Group, or FEG,
right.
Which is Kai's blog. And he's German, but it's written in pretty good English, and there's fantastic photographs there. And then I'm still working on this report, because you'll see, it'll blow you away just how much really went on that you may not have remembered. And it's a very extensive, lengthy report I'm still working on. So I'll let you know what the link is as soon as it's done, and then you can put it out there.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about our experiences with physical mediumship. So stay tuned.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We've been talking about all sorts of things like ectoplasm and levitations and points of light and so forth. So we were talking about ectoplasm just before the break. So you look like you have an interesting theory on ectoplasm.
I do have a theory. And my experience with this evening was very emotional because my whole life I've grown up hearing stories about physical mediumship. My mom, my entire life, has shared her experiences with me. She saw manifestations of people she recognized, and I was expecting the same thing. And granted, I understand, especially with August reminding us that the German mediums perhaps work in a different way. And that's totally fine. But in thinking about what we did see the other night and trying to figure out how on earth, if it were not real, and I wanted it so much all to be real, but there was so much I questioned that the one theory I came up with that I think could possibly explain the ectoplasm, and I wrote it down, regurgitation. I think the medium possibly, and I'm not saying this is what Kai did, a medium could ingest substances prior to the start of the evening. And I've made some substances out of edible items.
Wow.
The recipes, as a matter of fact,
this is not a TV show.
I know. This is Metamucil. This is red-colored because I had berry-flavored Metamucil. You put the Metamucil in some water and you warm it up, and it becomes gel-like. Add some gelatin, even some egg whites, it's all completely edible. And during our session, the medium had bottles of water or some liquid in a bucket. Drink enough liquid on top of what you've already put into your stomach, and it grows and grows and grows. And you don't necessarily know at what point it's sufficient to come up, but you've given yourself several hours inside that darkened room. Anybody who's sadly bulimic can tell you all you need to do is put your fingers down the back of your throat and bring forward what's in your belly. The medium spoke about his belly several times. He coughed at the start of his discussion with us, which I just happened to take note because I thought, I guess Europeans haven't learned to cough into your elbow. So I recalled the coughing, thinking, something go down wrong. At the end of the evening, platters of food were put out, and I did notice the medium's wife had set aside a stack of sandwiches. And so later, as I thought about this theory of mine, I thought that most of these sittings seem to have a day off in between. Someone could empty their stomach of all other substances, so you're not coming up with undigested food or vomit. You may have simply not eaten
the medium's stomach was rather large. He mentioned it several times. He could ingest something, add to it with the water that was in his bottle, and when he felt the moment was right, because it's roiled up inside of him, bring it forth. That does not explain the phasis. I understand that. If they were these medallions, we weren't given a chance to examine the cabinet, which was simply drapery. Those medallions could have been inside the drapery.
But in something like that, though, could they be string-like where you could manipulate
them? You
can
do, definitely. If this is your livelihood, definitely. Gelatin, I mean, this was me in 10 minutes experimenting. This is some gelatin. This is a cornstarch and flour mixture. I didn't even touch it, but it's very gooey.
Oh, it does look like it.
Yeah.
And this is
wow.
Without any attempt to perfect it.
Yeah.
So add extra water.
Right
some
now,
stomach
Melissa
juices.
Has her hands in a jar of a...
I think we're going to do this on one of our Signs of Life TV videos.
Yeah,
because
right.
This is something that really needs to be seen. I would like to, because I'm making my own list of things that I think, you know, here's your Felix group trying to prove something or push the physical medium to some area of perfection or belief for the general public, then they should be taking information from the general public, a list of what we have issues with, and trying to address them rather than to write them off. And I would so much as to welcome emails from any of our listeners who have such questions. I mean, I have a list of questions myself. You know, there were photographs being taken during this thing in the dark, and yet Hans, the spirit coming through Kai, made a very peculiar statement, is that nobody can look at these photographs until they are approved to be seen. Well, either they were taken or they weren't. Either you took photographs of this thing or you didn't. Why do you have to approve that?
On that very note, there was a woman who had the photography camera ready to go, and she had gotten pictures in Lilydale, and I've seen them online. They're pretty impressive, and I invite anybody to check it out for themselves. During our particular seating, Hans decided that he didn't want photographs. And when the reading, when the whole thing was done, and we all left the room, and then we went into this other room where the refreshments were, and then Kai came right into the room. He went straight over to the photographer and started to talk about, you know, how he was sorry that she couldn't do it. And I'm thinking, well, didn't they say that he goes into a trance and doesn't know anything that went on, and yet here he comes right into the room and is talking about stuff that went on in, during his trance? And August mentioned that too, that when you go into that trance, you don't know anything that's going on, and yet here he is talking about it just 5 minutes later.
Add it to my list.
Well, yeah. Well, of course, the argument would be that he was told afterwards what went
it's
on.
You know,
by
I
the
agree with
whatever.
That.
So,
it just seemed a little too knowledgeable about what was in that room to me.
Well, one thing that we've all learned is that we have to remain, despite what we see, we have to remain open to everything.
Right. I still
until,
am.
You know, and we're not in a position to really, you know, judge because we couldn't do our own investigation, you know. So, but I take some heart in the fact that, as we mentioned, as Tom mentioned before, there are credible scientists that did the controls that we would like to have been able to do. So I have to respect that. So there's more to this.
And I think the bottom line for me is with this whole Forever Family Foundation is that, you know, our primary goal is to help people in grief. And my recommendation is if you are in grief, this is not the way to go to get relief. If you are curious and want to see for yourself, then sure. I mean, that's what I did. And it was an entertaining evening. I didn't walk out of there convinced, but I do remain with an open mind. It could, if it were true, it's fantastic, but nothing made me believe.
Yeah, well, I apologize to all the callers tonight. We'll do another show on this.
Maybe we should do a part two.
We'll do a part two, and we welcome your calls. There's so much more on that. And as Tom said, I mean, I would echo what he said. Remain open. Several things could be at play. If we rule out fraud, you know, of course, fraud is always has to be ruled out. You know, then it could be an extraordinary demonstration of psychokinesis, which to me, I mean, I know I got rapped a million times, so that to me is pretty exciting. It has nothing to do with spirit, you know, or it could be proof of spirit because spirit is doing these things. So all these things are open for further investigation, and I'm going to play with your
I think we're like totally out of time.
Okay.
I'll just quickly where am I going to do?
Let's pray.
Yes, let's just do our healing circle. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from all participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. As we visualize the healing light upon Francis Mastracco, Tim Donahue, Deb Martin, Tina Jocelyn, Barbara Russell, Vicky Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Mark Barron, Eileen LaFlada, Rita Springer, David Hayes, Barbara Padillo, Glenna Irwin, Julie B., Stanley Mullen, John Borland, Flora Prisco, Miriam Pierschka, Tanya Cash, Andy O'Brien, Jeanette Davies, Janice Varelli, Joel Auerbach, Lenny Ficarelli, Rachel S., Lynn Cheney, Kimberly Saavedra, Johnny Jackson, and Henry Stark. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time for us to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.